Good morning, everyone. Everybody give a wave. We want to welcome you to Central Baptist Church this morning, whether you're with us here in the multipurpose building, outside on the lawn, out in the parking lot, or even over in the sanctuary watching by way of simulcast. We welcome you today. We ask that God bless you richly for having the opportunity to come together with God's people with every means and mode that we can during these trying times. Let's begin in a word of prayer. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity to gather today under the banner of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we realize that church is really about the people. It's not about the facilities, but Lord, we're grateful that you have given us a means and an opportunity to be able to come together to meet. Lord, we're thankful for those that may not be able to get out who are watching this morning by the live stream. And Lord, those that are across this country and Lord, even around the world that are having the opportunity to tune in today to hear your word. Father, it says where two or three are gathered together, you're there in the midst. And Lord, we know that you're with us today. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, may everything that we do honor and glorify you. Help us, Lord, to be still in your presence, to hear your voice today, for you have a word for each and every one of us out of your word. So we ask that you would just bless our time. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one thing I want to give you real quick, just as a way of reminder, that next Sunday, which will be the 16th of August, we do have scheduled our church's annual business meeting as required by law. In that business meeting, the nominating committee report for the year 2020-2021, that's a mouthful, is actually going to be voted on. If you would like a copy of that report, copies of that are available. If you're over in the sanctuary, they're in the narthex. If you're in a multi-purpose building or outside, you could pick one of those up in the lobby right outside the church offices for review. If you have any questions, you can contact the church office, and Debbie will make sure that she gets your information or questions over to the nominating committee to get you an answer before we have a vote. This is something that will require a vote. There will be a vote next Sunday on the 16th. We will use the same method that we did when we did our vote for the IT equipment. If you are on campus, you'll have a ballot that says yes or no. You'll drop that in the offering receptacle as you leave, along with your offering. And then if you are not able to be out, if you're at home and you are a member of our church, you can call the church office. You can talk to Debbie in the church office and cast your ballot that way. So once again, next Sunday, August the 16th, will be our church's annual business meeting, at which time we will also vote on the nominating committee report for the year 2020-2021. So now we're going to continue to just praise the Lord as we come together and looking so forward. I heard Tammy practicing a little while ago, as well as Lynn, and I know your heart is going to be blessed. Tammy, come bless us.
The earth, born older than the years, and in the stall across he saw through the first of many tears a life of homeless hopeless wandering, cast out in sorrow's way. The shepherd seeking for the lost, his life the price he paid. Of crucified the rose, the risen one in splendor, Jehovah's sole defender, has won the victory. To give, to drink for us the crimson cup, so that we might really live. At last the time to love and die, the dark appointed day, that one forsaken moment when your Father turned his face away.
Amen. What a message for today. Amen. Love crucified the rose, and the grave became a place of hope for each and every one of us. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. As you find that, I know that there. I've actually had a lot of phone calls today. So those that may be viewing from up and down the East Coast, we're checking in safe from the earthquake that took place in Sparta, North Carolina today. And actually, Blake and Jana actually felt that. Blake said the house was shaking, and I don't know, because I was still concentrating on the back of my eyelids at the time that supposedly happened. So I can't say that I experienced that, although we have survived. Haven't heard of any danger reports or anything from our folks. But how many of y'all actually experienced that this morning? Lots of hands going up in here. That was kind of a unique experience to have. You know, earthquake in North Carolina. Who would have thought it? But today we want to look at some things that happen in our lives. I have had a lot of questions lately. A lot of folks who, you know, through the midst of everything that's taking place in our world and all the things that are going on, and it's not just the one thing, it's not just the virus, it's not just the temperament of folks as they have gone around in life. It trickles down to, you know, folks that have an insecurity in regard to their job. They have all these things that are taking place right now, and it just seems like there's this big pile of stuff, I'm gonna call it stuff, that is weighing people down. And the idea is, how do we deal with those sorts of concepts? And I've heard, and I'm gonna call it an old term because it's been a long time since I've heard people use this term, but there have been folks who sometimes in jest, sometimes in seriousness, and sometimes a little bit of both, have said, with all this stuff going on, I feel like I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Y'all remember that term? You don't hear it much anymore, but about to have a nervous breakdown. And I heard that again over this past week on a couple of occasions, and it reminded me of a time when we were on our way to the mission field. We had a layover at an airport, and I was just kind of browsing. It was one of those long layovers. I was kind of browsing around and went by. I was looking in the little shops in the airport, and there was a headline out of the Wall Street Journal. Now, no, I don't usually buy that, and I don't usually look at it. A little bit of a different class for me, but I just happened to see where at this newsstand, there was a Wall Street Journal there, and the thing that caught my attention was an article that they had, and it kind of stunned me to the point where I jotted it down. And this has been over a decade ago, but this is what that front page of that New York or that Wall Street Journal said. It said, the nervous breakdown, the mysterious affliction that has been a staple of American life and literature for more than a century, has been wiped out by the combined forces of psychiatry, pharmacology, and managed care. But people keep breaking down anyway. That's what kind of caught my attention. Now, basically what they were saying is there's been a lot of research done, and that having an opportunity to deal with people through psychiatry, also through pharmacology with medications and those type things, and with counseling, they said, we have essentially eradicated the nervous breakdown. But in the same breath, they said, and yet people keep breaking down. Now, what does that have to do with a biblical passage? What does that have to do with church? But a lot of you might be sitting there thinking, well, it has a lot to do with me, because the stresses, the pressures, and everything that this virus and everything that the world has become in this day and age really has me thinking. There are people that have the insecurities about their job. These are things that consume you, don't they? How many of you out there are honest enough to say, I've had those circumstances and situations in my life that have kept me awake at night? Listen, confession's good for the soul. There's a lot of us. Whether it's at this particular day and age or time, or whether it's over a certain circumstance or what have you, which carries us back to what we preached on several years back about having circumstantial faith. We're not supposed to have circumstantial faith. How we feel, what we do, our joy doesn't come from our ever-changing circumstances. It comes from an unchanging God. And yet we still allow those things to affect us. Now, in the passage we're going to look at today, we're going to look at what I consider to be one of the biblical spiritual giants of the Old Testament, and that was Elijah. Elijah, as God led him, had some great, great victories. Elijah was that guy who stood in the face of opposition. He did so boldly. He did so bravely. But then in like the next chapter or two, he's the same guy that you see running and hiding. It was like the pressure had gotten to him. Now we're going to look at this chapter, and you have to understand that where this chapter comes in is essentially after the contest at Mount Carmel. Now, if you're here and you don't know what happened at Mount Carmel, that was the time that throughout the land, Baalism, the worship of Baal, was pretty predominant. It seemed like those that were Christians were on the run or literally just about non-existent at that particular time. And Elijah calls the prophets of Baal to a contest on Mount Carmel. And he says, essentially, choose you this day whom you will serve. If Baal's God, then worship him. If God Almighty is God, then worship him. But we're going to have a contest today to determine what that's going to be. So Baal got all their prophets together. It says the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the grove, the total number of them was about 850 to against one prophet of the Almighty God, which was Elijah. And if you remember that story, how it went, Elijah said, you boys go first. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to build an altar, and we're going to put a sacrifice on it, and you call on Baal, and then I'll call on God, and we'll see which one is real. We'll see which one will come and receive the sacrifice. Now, if you're familiar with the story, Elijah said, you guys go first. takes any excuses away. You pick the bull first. We don't want you to sit back saying, oh, well, the reason why we didn't win was because you got first pick at the bull. No, that you boys go first. And it talks about what they did. It says they got a bull, they prepared it, they marched around and they chanted and everything. Nothing was going on. All the people had come to watch this contest. Thousands upon thousands of people were witnessing what was taking place. And then Elijah even got so bold that he said, maybe you're not yelling enough. Now, if you're not familiar with how the original translation of this reads, Elijah at one point even tells the prophets of Baal, you need to yell a little bit louder because perhaps Baal is in the restroom. And I'm putting it in the nice, mild terms. And it says that after a certain amount of time and nothing happened, then it was Elijah's turn. And Elijah gathers them around. He gets the sacrifice. He prepares it. And then he did something completely counterproductive to starting a fire. It says that he had them wet the offering that he placed on the altar with barrels of water. It said they dug a trench around it. The trench filled up with water. He wet it. Now, I don't know about you, but I know growing up what it was like trying to start a fire with wet wood wasn't fun. Didn't work out real. It took a long, long time to finally get it to dry out enough. You know, lots of newspaper under it. That's old-fashioned days, not flick a button and the gas comes on, okay? So what happens is he wets the sacrifice. He calls on God Almighty. God Almighty comes down and says he received the offering. He received even the altar that it was on. It said dried up the water, everything that was around there. And then all the prophets of Baal were put to death that day. Now that sounds like a bold Christian witness at that point. That sounds like a guy who's got victory. He's on top of the world. You know, he's standing there. He says, don't let any of them get away. You take them down to the river, and you make sure that today's the last day that they will spend because they opposed the Almighty God. Now, he sounds like the guy that you want out in the front leading you in the charge. The scripture we're going to look at is what is taking place right after this contest. Look with me, if you would, 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all of the prophets with the sword. Now, that's over that circumstance we just talked about. Yeah, Ahab is the king. Jezebel is his wife. Jezebel does not like Elijah, plain and simple. And it says, that verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all of the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. That's a pretty stiff threat. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came, and he sat down under the broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you would help us to read your word, the true word, the living word that comes from you, that it might be an example to each and every one of us. Father, we realize that there are times in our lives when we will get to the place that Elijah was in the scriptures that we're reading today. But Father, that's not what you'd meant. There are times that you are using circumstances to move us to where you want us to be. Lord, help us to, as your word has said, cooperate with the pruning. Lord, I pray that as we look at this today in the midst of circumstances and situations that seem hopeless, that you will provide for us the same prescription of relief that you did for Elijah in these following passages. Bless our time and use this your servant. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this, you see Elijah, the big, strong prophet of God, the one that faced down multiple prophets of Baal. Now Jezebel has sent him a message. And I'm going to give it to you in the short term. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you before sundown. I'm coming after you. I don't like you. I don't like what you did, and you are going to die this very day. Now, she was a powerful woman. You know, she was hanging with Ahab, the king. Pretty much what she said could or would happen. And Elijah knew that. And all of a sudden, Elijah, this strong and courageous man, was surrounded by fear. Fear to the point where he left. Fear to the point that he ran. And he has gotten into such a desperation that it says that as he left his servant, he went on a day's journey. Look at verse 4. It says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed. Now, get this. He prayed. This is the same guy who prayed in the previous chapter, God, send fire down from heaven to consume this sacrifice, because you are the one. You are the powerful. You are the almighty God. Show all these people today your power. This is the same God who just in the previous chapter answered his prayer. Now Elijah is sitting down under a broom tree, and it says in verse 4, middle of verse 4, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. It is enough. Have you ever been there where you've said, I've had it? You've thrown your hands up and you're like, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with all of it. I'm walking away from it. I just can't take it anymore. Usually, I mean, yeah, at times when we can distance ourselves from the situation and we have a little opportunity to calm down, we will view through a different lens the circumstance and we will come back. But in that moment, we're ready to quit. Elijah at this point is saying, I have had enough of this. He didn't say that when he was standing in front of 850 prophets of Baal. He didn't say that knowing that Ahab could kill him. It's because Jezebel has threatened his life. Now this mighty, mighty man is asking the Lord to essentially take his life. Verse 4 in the middle of it, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. That's pretty serious, isn't it? I mean, if you were listening to him, if he came to you as a friend, you would sit there and say, look, we need to get you some help, and we need to get you some help today. Because when people get to this particular point, they're often contemplating taking their own life. Now, I'm not saying that that's what Elijah was doing at that point. He was pretty much wanting God to take his life from him. But instead, God came up with the prescription for his nervous breakdown. The same prescription that God gave to Elijah in these following verses is the same prescription that he will give to you and I as we call on his name. The first thing that I want us to see as we look at it in this seven-part prescription that he wrote, the first thing that he required, or the first thing that he prescribed for Elijah, was some sleep and some nourishment. You ever notice that when you get in that circumstance of something is just weighing heavy on your mind, you can't sleep at night? Yeah, your mind is just running all the time. It is not at rest. There's not an opportunity. It will begin to affect you. Stress will affect you. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me at home? Stress will affect you. It will affect your health. It will affect how you feel. It will affect everything about who you are. And God prescribed for him sleep and nourishment. Look with me if you would, starting with verse 5. It says, then he lay and slept under the broom tree as he did. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, verse 6, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he laid down again. The Lord sent him help in the middle of his trouble. In his case, there was an angel. In his case, he was awakened. In his case, the angel said, you need to eat and you need to drink. You need to have nourishment. Every one of us have probably had a time in our life when we've known of a loved one, a family member, a friend, somebody that has been in a circumstance like this. They don't eat. You're not hungry, It's almost sickening to you to eat. And you've got people who are sitting there going, you need to eat something. You need to keep up your strength. You need to keep your health. Who is it that tended to Elijah in the middle of this? God Almighty himself. Now, folks, God still does that today. Sometimes he does that through the use of another brother or sister. Sometimes when that knock on that door and it said, hey, look, man, I know you're going through some tough times. We just wanted to bring you a little meal over. Yeah, we know how that goes, don't we, JC? It's nice in the middle of your crisis. And sometimes you may not want it, but it's the thought. You know that there are people there who love you and who care about you. That are doing something not because they had to. They're doing this because their heart's desire was to be an instrument of God in your life. Folks, let me tell you something. If somebody shows up at your house with a casserole, take it and enjoy it. Don't rob them of a blessing. Yeah, because it's their heart's cry to do something to help you out. Listen, the Lord may have led them to do that for you. I would say the Lord did lead them to do that. Most people I know, including our church family here, we don't like to cook, do we? We like to eat what everybody else has cooked, and we will cook. So nobody really jumps up and says, ooh, let me go make a meal. No, they do it because they love you. That makes them want to do it. That's what gives them the desire to be able to be a part of your life. So the first thing that God did for Elijah was he said, there's a couple things you need. You need strength. You need physical strength, so you need some nourishment. And you need some rest. You need some real rest. You need some sleep. Notice what it says in verse 6 after he did. It says the latter part of verse 6, it says, so he ate and drank and lay down again. He got up long enough to eat and drink, and he laid back down again. Verse 7 says, and the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. In other words, all you did was nibbled on that casserole. You didn't eat very much of it. And I know what the journey's like. You're going to have to do better than that. You're going to have to get that protein. You're going to have to get that vegetable. You're going to have to get that. You need a well-balanced meal. Angel wakes him up again and told him, it says, look at the quote in verse 7, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And what did Elijah do in verse 8? So he arose and he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Now that was an angelic meal, wasn't it? 40 days and 40 nights. If you're like me, going 40 minutes without having something is a pretty big deal. 40 days and 40 nights. That was a meal touched by God. It says, and there, verse 9, and there he went into a cave and he spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So what he's done is he's told him, he said, the first part of the prescription was that he needed some sleep and he needed some nourishment. In verses 5 through 7, the second thing in the prescription for his mental health along the way was that he had angelic help, and you will have that angelic help. God is using his people in our day and in our age to accomplish his will. Man, what a great, great feeling when you are used by God as an instrument to bring about his will. You know, when you've baked that casserole and you've taken it over to that person and you've given it to them with love and you've been obedient to the Lord, it gives you a sense of satisfaction, doesn't it? That's why I said don't rob somebody of that blessing. You might be the angelic help in that person's life as you're going about. And then in verses 9 and 10, the third thing that he allowed him to do, which I believe everybody needs to do. This is usually where I am when I'm having an opportunity to talk with somebody. Let's take verses 9 and 10 real quick, and then you're going to see. It says, and there he went into a cave, and he spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God has asked him a question. And in verse 10, Elijah answers that question. And here was his answer. He said, verse 10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." You know what he did right there? This is the other part, or the third part of that prescription. He allowed Elijah to vent. You ever vent? Here's part of our issue. Part of our issue is we often vent to the wrong people, don't we? Yeah, I've even told folks, I said, look, yeah, when the burden gets heavy, if you just need someone to yell at, come on down. I'm real good. You can blow my hair back and we'll still love each other. We'll still have a cup of coffee. Sometimes you need to vent. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you go on the monologue that is epic. When you start to snap, all of a sudden it's everything from the time that you were a child all the way up into here. You're like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. And this and that and the other thing. And what about JoJo? And what about this one? And what about Herbert? And why are all these good things happening to them? And rah, 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 rah. Amen? And then after you're done, you're like, where's the Tylenol? Sometimes we need to vent. Sometimes we need to get it off of our chest. And God is saying to you, if you got to vent, I'm your guy. That is part of the prescription. And that is exactly what he did in the life of Elijah. Elijah is sitting there and he's really having a pity party for himself. Don't we really do that? When we get to that point, don't we really get that selfishness about us where we're sitting there going, well, why is it not about me? Look at what's happening to me. Me, 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 I, you know. What about it? That's what he did. He had this circumstance and he vented before God Almighty. He said, "This you want to know what's going on? Let me tell you what's going on." God allowed Elijah to repeatedly ventilate his frustrations. And that as well is part of the prescription to handle your nervous breakdown and what's going on in your life. Now, he did the fourth part of the prescription was after the ventilation. Usually there's that stillness. Like I said, usually it's when you've run out of breath, when you've run out of things to say, you feel like you've cleared that blockade, you've cleared that blockage, and you're like, how many of y'all have ever done that before? Come on, be honest with me. Yeah, you're like, and you've said if you could think of something else to say, you'd say it. But you feel like you have run the gamut. Then at that point, when Elijah had no more to say, guess what we usually do? He did it, and you and I will do it as well. When we run out of things to say, we will usually start to listen. In verses, beginning with verse 11, God provided for Elijah the same thing he'll provide for me and you, and that is his still small voice in the midst of our circumstances. Verse 11, it says, then he said, this is God speaking to Elijah, verse 11, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Remember what I said a minute ago? A still small voice. Verse 13, so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, he heard God. Folks, I believe that so often what happens is we get so busy, and I'll use this country term, wallowing in our self-pity, that we're not listening to what it is that God has to say. We're busy venting. We're busy crying out. We're busy letting in know everything. Listen, the ventilation stage is okay, but there comes a point where you've got to shut your mouth and open your ears because God is wanting to lead you through the midst of your crisis, your circumstances, your breakdown. But he can't lead you if you won't listen to him. He can't lead you if you don't hear him. And finally, Elijah stepped out of that cave and he heard the voice of God. Now, if you're here and you're listening, and if you're listening online, here's something you need to understand. God is wanting to speak to you. And sometimes we're looking for his voice in all the wrong places. He's got a message for you. He's got a word for you. But often we're too busy doing this and not this that we don't hear what he has to say. Have you ever been with somebody, if you have children, you're definitely going to say yes, where all they did was, like little Fievel. Remember the cartoon character Fievel? He's always talking. You just want to shake him and say, listen, stop. Stop for just a minute. Shut this and listen. And I think God is trying to get our attention. And sometimes he's got to shake us a little bit and say, listen. Listen. I'm getting ready to say something to you, but you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it because you're too busy yammering on. You're going to miss it because your mindset's not in the right place. Listen, every one of us have talked to somebody that's been on a tantrum or a tirade, and you know they haven't heard a word you've said. How are you going to hear what God has to say if you don't be still and be quiet? Let me tell you, God speaks to us through his word. Are you getting in his word? You're sitting there asking, well, God, speak to me. Well, he's going to in the word, but if you're not in the word, how can you hear him? He speaks to you through his word, through prayer, through the circumstances of your life. God can speak to you and is speaking to you. All that stuff that's got you all nervous and knotted up and tied up is part of God's plan for your life, maybe to get you where God wants you to be. We need to cooperate with that. That doesn't mean we need to like it. That doesn't mean that we're not allowed to vent. He let Elijah vent. So vent, but then be still and listen to him. And in Elijah's case, what he said to him was simply this: what are you doing here? Let me translate that. How did you get from the spiritual giant over on Mount Carmel to hiding in a cave and being on the run from this woman called Jezebel? What happened? You ever been there in your life or somebody that you know that you're like, man, I have seen you, take on insurmountable odds and come out victorious, and then all of a sudden, here you are in this little circumstance that has just encapsulated your life. I don't get it. I don't understand. How is it that that can happen? Well, here's Elijah. It happened to him, and it can happen to us. See, here's what God did for him. In verses 14 and following, the fifth part of that prescription was that Elijah needed a renewal of purpose. Remember what was God asking him? Why are you here? You know what, just to kind of give you an example, if God were to ask me that, and I gave the biblical answer, if God were to look and say, Roy, listen, what are you doing here? My answer to him would be, because I know what he's called me here to do. My answer would be, Lord, it's to preach your word. It is to proclaim your word. It is so easy to get sidetracked from the thing that God has called us to do. Listen, even as a pastor, that's easy to do. We can get so caught up in things like having great programs and building buildings and doing all these things, everything except what we're supposed to do. And sometimes that's what we do. Sometimes God has to get our attention to bring us back to the purpose for which he called us. Is that what's going on in your life today? Is that what's taking place with you? Is God saying, look, man, you're so far off base right now that I got to get your attention. I got to bring you back. Maybe it's to redirect what it is, but it's about the renewal of the purpose in your life. The Lord gave Elijah a set of new assignments that was getting ready to come up. Nothing will help us overcome discouragement like rediscovering our purpose in life and setting to work at what God has called us to do. Look at verse 14. And he said, I have been very zealous, this is Elijah, for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken you. They've forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone, see, he thinks he's by himself. I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. Verse 15, the Lord gives him the answer. Verse 15 says, then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. He's got a new set of marching orders. God has said, okay, you done? Now, here's what I've got for you. Here's what you're going to do next. You got a new set of orders. Here's a fresh set of orders straight from the captain. I'm the captain. That's what God says. And here is your new set of orders. You know, sometimes we get in circumstances and situations and we just don't know what to do. We're sitting there going, Lord, help me. What do I do? What should I do in the middle of this crisis? Why is it that this is bothering me so much? Tell me, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord's going to. Sometimes he's got to get all the a radio term is white noise, isn't it, Paul? White noise. Got to get the white noise. You know what white noise is? White noise is background noise. Stuff that gets your attention in the background. I was sharing with Don there, but before church, I said, the older I get, I said, I'm starting to show those signs of age. I said, if I get in a place, in a restaurant or in a group of people, and somebody's talking to me, and there's a lot of loud background noise going on, the person I'm talking, I can't understand the person I'm talking with. It sounds like the Peanuts teacher. It's like, wah, 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 what? I said, I'm starting to get old. Now, folks, we can apply that in a spiritual way here. If there's so much white noise, so much background noise, and listen, the devil is going to provide background noise in your life. He's going to. For me, he wants the biggest crowd around yammering, rah, 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 so that I won't hear what it is that God has for me. And God is saying, look, can you be still for just a few minutes? Shh, 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 shh. How about coming into the prayer closet and shutting the door? How about turning that blame cell phone off? Ooh, he went there. How about turning the television off for a minute? How about doing some things? How about making an appointment with me that's a real appointment? Let me tell you what grinds my gears. What grinds my gears is to have an appointment with somebody to need to talk to them about something, and they're not paying any attention to you. You ever have that happen? And you're trying to explain something, and they ain't a bit more paying any attention to you than the man on the moon. Sweat starts to roll down the back of my neck. I start to get mad about that. I'm like, I set this time up, and yet everything has become a distraction. You walk up to the line, and you're at the bank, the DMV, all those wonderful souls that work there. You walk up, you've been standing in line for 2 hours, and you say, lady said, can I help you? Yes, I would like, ring, hold on, yeah, DMV. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I'll get that. Yeah, hold on just a second. Walks away, and they come back, hang the phone up. Yes, sir, how can I help you? Oh, Brigitte, oh, yes, I'll be right back. Ooh, don't it drive you nuts? God is wanting you to pay attention to him. Go to the closet. Shut the door. Get the distractions out. Listen, you can do that. You can do it. Maybe it's time for you to tell all the distractions, you need to hold on. I've got an appointment with God. I'll be with you later. God had to get Elijah's attention in that cave. And finally, he said, all this stuff God wasn't in, how much stuff are you dealing with that God's not in? Find the stuff God is in and join him there. He goes on and he says, here's your new set of orders. This is what I want you to do. There was a renewed purpose in Elijah's life with those new assignments. We need to rediscover the purpose which God has placed us here. Then what happened down in verse 18, he did something that each and every one of us need. In verse 18, it says this. It says, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Remember what Elijah was saying a minute ago? When he was ventilating, what he said to God was, he said, I'm the only one left. I am the last believer. And here I am all alone. You know what God just told him right there? He gave him some reassurance. But he said, you're wrong, Elijah. You are not the only one left. He says in verse 18, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knee has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. He said, you're not the only one. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. There's 7,000 more. Listen, that became encouraging. Those were encouraging words to Elijah along the way. He got some reassurance. Folks, let me promise you that in the middle of your potential breakdown, God will give you reassurance along the way. And then at last, in verses 19 and 21, he did something that I think we all need. Notice what it says. It says in verse 19, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, Go back again for what I have done. What have I done to you? But you know what it was that God gave him out of that? You ready for this? God gave him a friend. We all need a friend, don't we? We all need that person who can be trusted in our lives, the person who knows who we are, the person who can say to you, Mike, I know you, brother, and this is not you. Now, you need to knock it off. You need to stop that. Listen, I'm here for you, and let me tell you, you're going to sit down, and you're going to listen to me, and you're going to listen to what I have to say. You can throw me out afterwards, but you are my friend, and I love you, and you are stuck with me, and I am stuck with you, and I'm going to tell you like it is. You got a friend like that in your life? Who can tell you the stuff you don't want to hear? Not only that, Elijah was the one, God gave him some help. He said, you know what? Here's going to be the one to help you along the way, the one that will take your place once you're gone. Here's your plan. Folks, today some of you came in and you need a plan because you're on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Call it what you want. I'm reviving the old term. You are so stressed out. Listen, this pandemic's got everybody stressed out over everything because I was praying specifically for somebody I know in our church because I know of the organizer and planner that he is. And for some odd reason, yesterday, he kept coming across my mind. And for somebody who organizes things and plans them out, this pandemic is a nightmare. Because you can't organize nothing. You can't plan anything out. Everything changes from moment to moment. It's really fluid. And if that's your personality, you have struggled through this pandemic. Where are my people that write it down on paper and have a plan and don't like to deviate from the plan? I got a few in here. I'm sure there's some hands over in the sanctuary and some out on the grass. This is stressful times for you because you just feel like you're so out of control. You feel like you're just not doing your thing. Listen, God still has something for you. His prescription is sevenfold. He's saying you need to get you some sleep and some proper nutrition. Get you some rest, some real rest. The second thing is you need some angelic help along the way. And God said, don't worry about that. I'll provide that for you. Watch for it. The third thing, God says, I get it. It's all building up in you. You come and ventilate. But listen, come ventilate to me. Don't go ventilate to your wife or your kids. Or, yeah, you can go ventilate to your pastor because he's going to understand that. And he's still going to love you. But I'm going to let you say your peace. That's the third thing. Ventilate. Get it off your chest. Don't you feel better when you get it off your chest? The fourth thing is, after you get it off your chest, after you've said everything you can say, be quiet. Be still. Listen for God. And in the midst of doing so, God will give you a renewal of the purpose for which He called you on the face of this planet. And don't tell me you're retired. You don't, listen, a believer doesn't retire, they just go home. If God's put life in you and breath in you, He's not done with you. You got it? All right, senior adults. He ain't done with you. If He was, you wouldn't be here. Find that sense of renewal of purpose that God has for your life. And when you do, He will provide reassurance along the way. I'm here with you. I got this. And then along the way, He will provide for you something very important. That'll be a friend to walk through the circumstances and situations with. Listen, folks, true friendship is a tough thing these days, isn't it? Most people, if they go through life and they can realize that they've had one true friend, then they've been blessed. That's a sad statistic, but it's a true one. So this morning I'm asking you, are you overwhelmed? Are you stressed out? Are you discouraged? Are you depressed? God wants to renew your strength, and He wants to restore your soul. And He wants to do it this very moment. He wants you to trust Him. See, the way that He revived Elijah is a pattern that He wants to use in your life to revive your spirit as well. Isn't it great to have that? Remember those mountaintop experiences that you used to have with the Lord? And sometimes you're sitting back going, yeah, I remember what those used to be. But I hadn't had one in a long time. It's too much white noise in the background. Are you listening to the stuff that Satan is building around in your life? Have you carved out the time for God? If you don't do it, you won't have it. If you don't make time for Him, something else will take its place. It is finally time to stand up and say, shh, hold on. I'll be with you in a little bit. I have an appointment with God daily. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you to do something. If that's you today, I want you to go and find you a prayer closet, an Elijah cave, a spot in the wherever your place is that you can get away. Turn the phone off. Leave it at the house. What? Get alone with God. And vent. Lord, this is where I am. This is what's taking place. This is what's on my heart. This is what. But when you get done, I want to encourage you to pick up your Bible and listen. Because God has got a message for you. And He will renew you, He will restore you. It's kind of like talking in a classroom. I know I got some teachers in here as well, and I know that there's been times and even experienced some before where they weren't listening while you were talking, or they didn't listen to directions. And we saw some interesting things that if they would have followed directions, their day or their test would have been shorter. And then sometimes you just got to crawl them. Is that the right word? Lynn, she's got a little soft voice, and I've seen her with her class before, and I've seen Lynn start to talk, and Lynn's sweet little voice, and them kids are, but then, you know what happened? Lynn has a switch where her little voice can go to a big voice. And when Lynn's big voice comes on, they listen. Might have scared them to death. Listen, maybe God's trying to scare you to death, to get you to listen to what he has to say. But listen, it's about good news. The good news is he wants to renew you. He wants to recharge you. He wants to pull you through the circumstances. People said, how are you handling the pandemic? I said, one moment at a time. You know why? Because we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? And God said in the prayer that most people know, even if they're not believers, give us this day our daily bread. He wants us to trust him one day at a time. And as far as today, Sunday the 9th, so far, so good. What is your purpose? May God renew that. I'm going to ask Lynn if she would join me on the platform as we enter a time of commitment to him. And I want to ask you, first of all, are you a believer? Are you a child of the Most High God? You take care of your children. I've always said that you read the Word of God. God takes care of his children. He knows them and he calls them by name. He looks out and, yeah, I always laugh because when I was growing up, there was some in this room might know, some in the sanctuary I'm sure will, and maybe some outside, but there was this, remember Romper Room, the show called Romper Room? Anybody remember that? And remember, it was so cool because I used to watch Romper Room when I was like little, because I kept waiting for that woman to see me in that thing that looked like a mirror that didn't really have a mirror in it. It was a handle with a circle on it. And she was like looking into the TV. And she'd be going like, yeah, I see Brent and I see JC. And I really thought she could like look through the TV. And I kept waiting on her to see Roy. I see. And I thought, if she calls me, that means she saw me. She knows me by name. That to me was like the coolest thing in the world the day that she said, and I see Roy. And I was like, woo, she saw me in West Virginia. Folks, let me tell you, Romper Room, she didn't really see me. But let me promise you, God sees you. He sees his children. He knows their life. But the biggest question is, are you one of his children? Have you confessed that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior? Have you asked the Lord to save your soul? If you've not done that, but you feel the Lord tugging at your heart to do that, then I'm just simply going to ask that wherever you are, in your seat, in your recliner, whether you're here in North Carolina, whether you're across the U.S. or even across the world, here's what I want to ask you to do. Just simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I realize I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Now, Lord, I'm new at this, so help me to live for you, to grow one day at a time, one moment at a time, to please you. In Jesus' name, I ask this prayer. Amen. Listen, if you did that, I can make you a promise. You see, you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Heaven right now is cheering for you. Your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God will call you by name, personally. When I say, my Father in heaven, he says, yes, Roy. JC prays, he says, Lord, he says, yes, JC. When Lynn bows her head, yes, Lynn. And if you just ask Jesus into your heart, he will call you by name as well, because you are one of his children. Now, that doesn't mean that life is all easy, because, you know, there are those here today, part of our viewing audience, part maybe on campus, that you've been stressed out. You've gone through, and you are a believer. But there's just been so much white noise, so much background noise in your life that you haven't heard the Father. And he's calling you today to get away and be still. Get you some nourishment, get you some rest, so you'll think properly. He says, I got a purpose for you. I'm going to tell you what that is. But you got to be quiet and listen to what I tell you. Will you do that today? Mate, listen, if that's you, I'm just simply going to ask you to bow your head and say, Lord, and he just called you by name. And you can say, I am in the middle of the muck and the mire. So many distractions that I can't hear you. I can't see you. And God, I need your help. I need it now, because I'm about to have a breakdown. Take me by the hand. Carry me to the place of peace within you, the place of quiet, the place of still, where I can hear you again. Lord, where I can get my new set of orders, that I could truly be about your business. Forgive me, Father, for being where I am now. Rescue me. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, let me tell you, if you've asked the Lord to save you today, salvation wise he did, if you ask him to help you, he will. Look for his hand, listen for his voice. I'm going to ask that you just take a moment to reflect with the Father. As Lynn plays, I want you to know this: if you received Christ, or if you need our help, if you need our guidance, if you're viewing online, please go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org, and send us a message. We would love to help you. We'd love to follow up, maybe get you some literature to help you in your spiritual growth. Maybe you just need that person to talk to or to vent with. We're here for you. We'd love to know if you've made a decision for Christ that we could celebrate with you. We're not going to be that kind of person. We're not going to, you know, put you on the mailing list without your permission. We just want to celebrate with you, because that's what we're all about. And maybe today you need to leave this place and find a quiet area, because I have a feeling you'll hear the same thing Elijah heard. What are you doing here? Shh, listen, I got plans for you. Will you find them today? As Lynn plays, you do business with the Lord, and then I'll see us out of here with a word of prayer. But spend that time with him. This is that still time. Get the distractions out. Do business with him.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden. lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far.
Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And all God's people said, y'all sounded like a few of God's people, but all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, in just a moment, I'm going to see us off in a word of prayer. Don't forget, we have our annual business meeting next week. If you're going to be calling in a vote, please call the office this week during office hours from 9 to 4, Monday through Thursday, to cast your vote. If you're going to be here, you'll have a tear-off yes or no ballot. You'll drop in the box as you leave. So if you need copies of the nominating report, either in the narthex or right outside the office area, you can pick those up. If you have questions, call the church office. We will get those questions answered for you. As always, as you exit, the offering box for the multi-purpose building is by the door. If you're outside or in the parking lot, it's out by the sidewalk. If you're in the sanctuary, the plates are up there on the offering table. You can feel free to come up and place your offering there. That the Lord might bless you as you thank Him and return to Him that portion that He has blessed us with. You can't outgive God, but also that the word of the Lord may continue on from Central Baptist Church. We love you. You have been doing a fantastic job through this pandemic with your giving. God, I know, is blessing in a great and a mighty way. So if there's nothing else, I'll see us off in a word of prayer. I'll ask the offering, the prayer upon the offering, and we ask that God will bless you. Please join us again online for Wednesday night's Bible study as we once again gather around God's word. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for the provision that you have given us. Lord, I pray that today we have had a true get to know you session. Lord, amidst the background noise of our lives, you've got purpose for us. Lord, I pray that today that there will be those that have heard your word, that have given their life to you, that all of the citizens of heaven are rejoicing over the saving of that soul today. Now, Lord, you have provided monetarily for us, and as folks file by and drop that offering in, may you bless them. We know that you see, and everything comes from you, and we honor that. Help us, Lord, as a church to be wise in how we utilize your finances for your work. Bless each gift and giver is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.